Chapter 2. K.A.E.L. King. After Equal Love. 6 months had passed since the fall of Smith. 6 months since Kale stood victorious, not as a god, but close enough to believe it. Life had changed. Not the world, him. People looked at him differently now. Not with fear, with expectation, comparison. Alex. Always Alex. Kale sat alone that night, staring at nothing in particular, replaying the same quiet frustration he never admitted out loud. He had power. He had victory. He had recognition. But it never felt like enough. Because no matter what he did, someone had done it first. Alex, you're quiet. The voice came from behind him, calm, familiar, impossible. Kale turned slowly. Smith stood there, not broken, not defeated, not angry, whole. Kale froze, not in fear, in disbelief. You, he muttered. Smith smiled slightly, not mocking, not hostile, measured. How are you doing? Smith asked casually, stepping closer. Enjoying your youth? Kale didn't answer immediately. Smith continued. You've won, you've proven yourself, people follow you now. A pause. But do they see you? That hit, harder than it should have been. Kale looked away. They still compare you, don't they? Smith said quietly, to Alex. Silence confirmed it. Smith nodded, as if he already knew. I can help you with that. Kale looked back at him, suspicion, curiosity, temptation. How? He asked. Smith stepped closer, lowered his voice, by giving you something Alex never had. Kale frowned. That's not possible. Smith tilted his head slightly. It is. A pause. But I need your help first. Kale hesitated. What do you need? Smith's eyes sharpened, just for a moment. Access. To what? The ancient key. Kale's expression changed instantly. No. Smith didn't react, didn't push. Only you can open it, he said calmly. You and the Prime Alpha system. Kale stayed silent. Smith continued. I'll give you everything you need, the words, the sequence, the method. Kale shook his head. You don't understand that place. I understand perfectly. Smith interrupted softly. Another pause. Then, I'm not asking you to give it to me. Kale narrowed his eyes. Just open the door, Smith said. Let me in. Silence, heavy. And in return? Kale asked. Smith stepped closer, close enough now. In return, you stop being compared. Kale's jaw tightened. You become undeniable. Another step. You become chosen. Kale didn't speak. Smith lowered his voice further. You find what you're actually looking for. A beat, connection, recognition, something real. That was the hook, not power, not control, something deeper. Kale swallowed. And after? He asked quietly. Smith smiled, soft, convincing. After. It's yours. The key? Smith nodded. You'll have what it gives. Kale hesitated longer this time, somewhere. He knew something was off, but the part of him that wanted to be enough finally spoke louder. What do I have to do? He said. Smith reached into his coat, pulled out a small, folded piece of writing. Recite this, he said. Exactly. Kale took it, looked at it, didn't understand it, but felt it. And that's it, he asked. Smith stepped back. That's it. A lie, perfectly delivered. Kale nodded slowly. And in that moment, without realizing it, he made the only mistake that mattered. He trusted the wrong truth. The door, the archive, did not open for doubt. It opened for certainty. Kale stood before it, alone now. The words Smith had given him felt heavier the longer he held them, not written in ink, but in structure, in something that demanded precision. He exhaled, then spoke. Clavissa Peri, per primum, alpha, lava, nothing. The door remained still. Kale frowned, looked at the words again, adjusted, focused, open, for prime, alpha, lava. The symbols along the door flickered, not fully, not enough. Kale stepped closer, something inside him aligned, not understanding, recognition. This time, he didn't repeat the words, he became them. Akari, the alpha primus, Clavis, cognition is solved. The archive responded, a thin fraction.
picture of light stood the door. Then it opened. Kale froze for a second. He hadn't expected it to work behind him. Smith smiled. After you, he said quietly. Kale stepped aside. Smith entered. And the moment he crossed the threshold, the room changed subject. Smith, white, infant, silent. Smith stepped into the knowledge room as if he had always belonged there. He raised his hand. Clavis veritatis aperi. Nothing, he frowned. Tried again, sharper, more precise. Access, silence, then a response. Access denied. Smith's expression darkened slightly. Again, he muttered. This time, he adjusted. He mimicked not the words, the presence. Alex, the Clavis veritatis aperi origin. And the room reacted for a fraction of a second. Then access denied. Smith exhaled slowly, now frustrated. Thinking you're not letting me in, he said quietly. A pause. Then I'll find another way. The return.
Kale hadn't gone far. He was still near the corridor. Uneasy. Something inside him felt wrong. Smith approached again. Unhurried. I need one more thing, he said. Kale looked at him, already uncertain. You said that was it. Smith nodded. It almost is. A step closer. If you do this for me. His voice lowered. I'll step back, let things settle, no interference. Kale frowned. What I wanted, I couldn't take by force. A lie is forming as truth. This is the only way it works. That word again. Connection. Kale hesitated. What else? He asked. Smith handed him the final sequence. Just recite it. Kale looked at it. Something inside him resisted, but not enough. He turned back to the door and spoke. Open for Prime Alpha, Lava, Clavis Cognitionis, Aperi. The door responded immediately. No hesitation, no resistance. It recognized him. The moment Kale stepped inside, the knowledge room accepted him. But not gently. Something rushed through him. Too fast, too deep. Honor. He whispered, confused. Why do I need honor? The word felt wrong, heavy, unwanted. I don't. The word kept pressing. Heavy, wrong, relentless. His voice broke before it rose.
I don't want honor!
The room intensified. I want love, the response, overwhelming. Kale stumbled back. No, no. He turned and ran out of the room, out of the space, out of understanding. The door closed behind him. Kale stood in the corridor, breathing heavily, silent. Something inside him knew he had crossed a line, not on purpose, but it didn't matter. Now, the room accepted him, not fully, not openly. But enough. Smith stood still, eyes closed, absorbing, not knowledge, patterns, connections, weaknesses. He asked one question. What dissolves the connection between Alex and Gaga? The room answered, not in words, in truth, pride. Another layer unfolded, unity with honor, inverted. Another, force applied to one soul, breaks both. Smith's eyes opened slowly, understanding formed, not emotional, strategic. So that's the structure, he whispered. Love, connection, balance, break one. You fracture both, a slow smile appeared. I don't have to destroy them. A pause. I just have to divide them. The room responded. Paths revealed themselves, not one, many. Ways to twist, ways to corrupt, ways to make love collapse under its own weight. Smith turned slightly, and I don't even need to feel it. That was the truth. He didn't want love. He wanted it gone because something inside him could no longer bear its existence, and now he had the method. Rain, same street, different weight. Kale didn't look surprised when Alex arrived. That part was already over. You opened it, Alex said, not a question. Kale nodded, slow. I didn't understand it, Kale replied. I know, Alex said.
that hit harder than an accusation. Silence stretched. Alex stepped closer. You weren't used, he said calmly. You chose. Kale clenched his jaw. I thought it would fix something, he admitted. Alex shook his head slightly. It didn't fix anything. A beat. It moved something that wasn't meant to move. Kale looked at him. What is this something better you keep talking about? Alex didn't answer immediately. Because this wasn't about giving him clarity. It's not here yet, Alex said. Then why protect it? Kale pushed. Alex's gaze sharpened just a little. Because if you force it early, you don't get something better. A pause. You get something broken. That landed. Kale looked away. And now, he asked quietly. Alex turned slyly. Now we deal with what you allowed. No anger, no forgiveness, just direction. I'm not here to punish you, Alex added. That surprised Kale. I'm here because you're still part of this. A beat. Whether you deserve it or not. Alex started walking away. Kale spoke again. And Smith, Alex stopped. He wants absence, Alex said. Then he walked, leaving Kale with something worse than guilt. Responsibility.
Chapter 3. The room was no longer clean, it was alive. Sweat in the air, the dull thud of impact against skin and muscle. The kind of sound that meant effort, real effort, not performance. Sam moved first. A clean strike, direct, efficient, the way he always trained. Like he was trying to prove something to himself more than anyone else. Dean followed, faster, rougher, instinct over form. He didn't trust the technique as much as Sam did. He trusted his body, his gut, the part of him that had learned to survive before he'd learned to think. And in the center, Lestak, he didn't rush. He didn't waste motion. There was something almost uncomfortable about watching him, like witnessing a language you didn't speak. You could see the grammar, but not the meaning. Every step had purpose. Every movement had weight, not the weight of effort, the weight of certainty. He didn't need titles. He was the lesson. Again. Lestak said. No anger, no volume, just the kind of quiet that made you want to fill it. Sam attacked, Dean shifted behind, two angles, one intention. Lestak didn't block, he redirected. Sam's momentum folded into nothing. Not stop, just relocated as Lestak had decided the force belonged somewhere else. Dean's strike missed by a fraction, and Lestak stood exactly where he needed to be. Neither of them had touched him. Too loud, Lestak said. Sam frowned, he opened his mouth, then closed it. He knew the critique wasn't about sound. Dean exhaled. Long, slow, the kind of breath that meant he was swallowing something he wanted to say. You're thinking like opponents. Lestak continued. You're reading each other, reacting to each other. He paused. That's not a team, that's two people in the same space. Start thinking like outcomes. Sam looked at Dean. Dean looked at Sam.
Something passed between them. Not a plan. Something older than that. They reset. Again, this time, closer, cleaner, the gap between them narrowed. Not in distance, but in intention. They stopped thinking about each other and started thinking about the same thing. Better. Lestak nodded once. It wasn't praise, exactly, it was an acknowledgement. The kind that meant you found the edge of something real.
Now you're learning.
Alex stepped into the room. No announcement, no sound of the door, just
presence.
The way a shift in air pressure announces a storm before you see it. Lestak noticed first.
Of course he did.
He always did, it wasn't a skill. Exactly, it was more like an instinct that had been sharpened so many times it had stopped feeling like effort. Sam lowered his guard, not consciously his body. Just decided that Alex being here changed the room's geometry. Dean straightened, crossed his arms, and tried to look like he hadn't been waiting.
You're late, Dean said.
Alex shook his head slightly. There was something in his expression.
Not amusement, not dismissal, something quieter.
No, he replied. I'm right on time. Lestak studied him. Longer than necessary, long enough that Sam glanced between them, unsure if he was missing something.
something's different.
Alex didn't deny it.
There's gonna be war.
Silence, not confusion. Recognition.
Sam spoke first.
Smith, Alex nodded.
He built it.
The walls shifted.
Just enough.
Images surfaced.
A distant planet.
Structured, controlled, endless rows of androids. Dean let out a low breath, his jaw tightened. He'd seen armies before.
Real ones. The kind that left craters where cities used to be.
This felt like that. Felt like the beginning of something you couldn't untangle once it started.
That's not a defense.
Laystack finished it.
That's an army.
No one argued. There was nothing to argue.
Alex stepped closer.
He has the key of honor that landed hard. Sam's voice dropped.
Then he can authorize anything.
Alex nodded once.
He already is.
A pause, heavy, Gaga entered.
No sound, just presence.
Laystack turned slightly.
You've been watching.
Always, she said.
Dean crossed his arms.
So what's the move? Alex didn't answer immediately, because the question wasn't simple anymore.
We're not just dealing with Smith, he said, finally.
Gaga stepped beside him.
Calm, focused.
There's something else,
she added.
Laystack's eyes narrowed.
Say it.
Alex hesitated, just for a moment.
The blue one.
The room tightened. Sam glanced at Dean.
Dean didn't move. Laystack didn't blink.
Explain.
Alex shook his head slightly.
I can't. Gaga finished it.
Because he's not accessible.
Laystack tilted his head.
Meaning?
Gaga's voice lowered.
He exists outside, reach outside rules.
A pause. He's beyond what we can touch.
Even Laystack paused at that.
Dean broke the silence. So what?
We just ignore him.
Gaga turned to him.
For now, yes.
Alex looked at her. You said he's not bound to time.
I did.
Then he could appear at any moment.
Gaga nodded.
And when he does, it won't be subtle. Another pause.
Sam stepped forward.
Then we prepare for both. Laystack finally moved again.
Slow.
Deliberate.
No, he said.
Everyone looked at him.
First come, first served. He looked straight at Alex.
Smith is here.
Laystack continued. He has an army. He has the key. He's already moving. A beat. The blue one,
Laystack added.
Silence. We don't fight what we don't understand, he finished.
Gaga didn't argue.
Alex released a steady breath.
He didn't like it, but he knew it was right.
Closing formation.
Laystack stepped back into position.
Training's over, he said.
Sam frowned.
That's it?
Laystack looked at all of them.
No, he said.
Now it's real. The room shifted again. Less like a training space, more like a battlefield waiting to happen. Alex stepped forward.
Chapter 4. Descent to Planet X. The room didn't feel like a training ground anymore. It felt like a countdown. Like the air itself had been holding its breath. Alex found Laystack near the edge of the chamber. Still, centered. The way a mountain is still not passive, not waiting. Just settled into itself. For a moment, Alex didn't say anything. He stood beside him and looked at the same wall Laystack was looking at. As if the answer might be written there and neither of them had found it yet. My best friend, Alex said finally. Laystack glanced at him. No smile, just recognition. The kind that doesn't need performance. The kind that exists in the space between people who have already seen the worst of each other and stayed anyway. Come with me. A beat. We need to investigate the army. Laystack didn't answer immediately. He watched Alex the way he always did. Pass the words into the intent. Pass the request into the reason. I trust you. Alex added, his voice was quieter now. Not softer, quieter. There's a difference. You're the most powerful to stand beside me if this turns into a fight. It wasn't flattery. They both knew that it was the kind of honesty that only comes out when the stakes are high enough that pretending costs too much. Silence. Then,
Laystek nodded once. Then we go. Alex stepped closer. There's more. Laystek waited. We don't just stop him. Alex said, we ruin his plan, we buy time. For what? Laystek asked. Alex looked past him, towards Sam, Dean, Gaga, everything they were holding together. To train properly, he said. His voice lowered. Our family can't fall again. The words set in the air between them, not dramatic, just true. The kind of true that is weight because it's been earned. Laystek's eyes sharpened. Something moved behind them. No surprise memory. Every time we fall, Alex continued, something breaks. He wasn't looking at Laystek now, he was looking at something further away. Not just bodies. He tapped his chest lightly, just once, like pressing a bruise to remind himself it was still there. Mind purpose, the thing that makes you you, and not just something that functions. A pause heavy in the way that silences are heavy, but no one wants to be the one to end them. We don't die like humans, Alex said, but we lose ourselves. And sometimes I think that's worse. At least death has a shape. What we lose, it's slower, quieter. You don't notice until you're already gone. Laystek understood that. Too well. There were things in his past he didn't speak about, not because they were secret, but because some losses don't have words that fit them. We cannot afford even one death, Alex finished, not one. A longer silence. And the humans? Laystek asked, his voice was even. But the question wasn't. Alex's jaw tightened, he thought about them. Not as a category, not as something to protect in the abstract, specific faces, specific voices. They don't deserve this. Gaga appeared at the edge of the room. You're going off-world, she said. Not a question. Alex nodded. Planet X. Gaga tilted her head slightly. That's not its name. Alex Harold's built now. For a moment, even Gaga almost smiled. Harold's built. The lower bay was different, less perfect, more real. Metal cables heaved, and in the center, a ship. Harold stood beneath it, hands marked with grease, eyes focused, mind somewhere between logic and instinct. You're late, Harold muttered without looking. Alex smirked slightly. Everyone keeps saying that. Harold finally turned. He wanted something fast, quiet, and stable between dimensions. He gestured toward the ship. You got fast and quiet, a beat, stable. We'll see. Laystek walked around slowly, studying the measuring. It will hold, he said. Harold raised an eyebrow. You say that like you already tested it. Laystek didn't answer. He didn't need to. Departure. Sam D stood near the ramp, ready gear on posture set. Everything about them said go, except they weren't going, but not chosen. Dean shook his head slowly. He wasn't angry. That almost made it worse. When Dean stopped being angry, he doubted something it meant. He'd accepted it, and accepting it, and he thought it was real. Of course you're going without us. Alex met his eyes, held them. We're not attacking. I know. Dean said, that's not why I want to go. A beat of silence, the kind that says everything the words don't. Sam nodded. Practicum, I should reckon. Laystek corrected him. Preparation. Sam looked at him. What's the difference? Laystek didn't answer, but the answer was in the word itself. Reckon means he don't know what you're walking into. Preparation means you already do. Gaga stood closer to Alex, quiet, not soft. She was never soft, but there was something in the way she moved that said this was different from all the other departures. If you see him, she said. Alex didn't let her finish.
We won't. Gaga didn't argue. That worried her more than anything else he could have said. Planet X. The ship cut through silence. No turbulence, no sound. Just the faint hum of systems doing what they were built to do and the vast, indifferent dark pressing against the windows. Alex sat forward, elbows on his knees, eyes locked ahead. He wasn't watching the stars, he was watching the space between them. Laystek stood behind him, unmoving the way he always stood. Like stillness was a choice he made every second, not something that just happened to him. Neither of them spoke for a long time. That was fine. Some silences don't need filling. Say it, Laystack said. Alex didn't turn. He'd known it was coming. Laystack always knew when something was sitting just behind the words. We're being watched. Laystack didn't react, didn't shift, didn't reach for anything. By Smith? Alex shook his head slowly. No. A pause longer than it needed to be. Something else. Laystack let that sit. He didn't ask what he didn't push. He just filed it. The way he filed everything. Into the part of him that would be ready when the time came. The ship entered orbit. Below them. Order, perfection, control. Rows of structures, endless and identical, carved into the surface of the planet like something that had never been allowed to grow naturally. Cold geometry. The kind of architecture that doesn't care about the people inside it, or the people it was built to destroy. And between them, movement. The android army. Not idle, not waiting, preparing. There's a difference. Idle things rest, waiting for things to hold tension. But preparation has direction, purpose. These things knew exactly what they were for. Alex stood slowly. His chest felt heavier than it had a moment ago. We're already late. Laystack stepped beside him. Their reflections overlapped faintly in the glass. No, he said, we're exactly where we need to be. Alex stared at the planet below, in the army, at the future trying to happen, not slowly, not inevitably, but with the particular urgency of something that had been planned for a very long time. And somewhere, deep behind it all, past the structures and the rows and the cold mechanical purpose of it, something unseen. Watch back. And it had been watching for longer than any of them knew.
Chapter 5, Tournament of Power.
Silence didn't mean danger. It meant start. The island stood still, not as a threat, but as a field, a place where outcome mattered more than fear. A voice moved through the air.
Calm, certain.
Welcome to the second tournament. No tension in the words, no urgency.
Because nothing here could truly end.
Participants have changed.
Far beyond the island, observers watched, not worried, not afraid, just waiting.
First participant.
Alex.
Second participant.
Smith.
Third participant.
Kale.
Fourth participant.
Gaga.
Fifth participant.
Amara.
Sixth participant.
Sam.
Seventh participant.
Dean.
Eighth participant.
Laystack.
Ninth participant.
Margaret.
Tenth participant.
Emily.
No reactions, no movement, only awareness.
Rules remain unchanged.
If you fall, you return outside the island.
You do not die.
A pause.
But you lose.
That was the only consequence that mattered.
No external advantage.
No interference.
Only what you build and what you become.
The ground shifted.
Not threatening, not hostile.
Just ready.
Begin.
Movement. Instant. No hesitation.
Not fear.
Just a decision.
And across the island.
Each participant chose a direction. After begin.
Opening movement.
They didn't hesitate.
No one looked at anyone else.
10 directions, 10 decisions.
And the island swallowed them whole.
The jungle closed in fast, roots like veins.
Air thick sound.
Wrong.
Not silence.
Listening.
They moved.
Alone.
Some went low.
Toward water and softer ground.
Some climbed.
Seeking height, sight, advantage.
Some disappeared into density.
Trusting instinct over vision.
No teams form the rules.
Unspoken, but absolute discouraged alliances.
At least for now.
Each participant weighed their odds, measuring the landscape and the creatures lurking within against their own abilities. No calls.
Only choice.
Deep within the island.
Movement.
Heavy.
Measured.
The T-Rexes were not wandering.
They were patterning.
Cutting paths.
Doubling back.
Testing the air.
Herding the island.
The predators were not random hazards. They were part of the
tournament's logic. The movement's deliberate and pattern shaped the battlefield and forced the competitors to adapt.
Every step was a test of awareness and ingenuity.
Not chasing.
Guiding.
A branch snapped somewhere far off.
Not panic.
A signal.
Alex slowed.
Not out of fear.
Out of calculation.
Behind him.
Smith.
Unhurried, watching the same lines.
You will need very high intelligence to win this one.
Smith's voice carried without effort.
Flat certain.
Alex didn't turn.
Didn't answer.
Another distant impact.
Something large shifting through trees.
Closer now.
Smith continued almost casually.
Strength won't save you here.
A beat, it never did.
Alex's gaze lifted.
Tracking something unseen.
It depends,
he said quietly,
on what you call strength.
They split. Alex veered east toward the denser jungle, searching for higher ground. Smith moved along the river's edge, his eye scanning for resources and weaknesses. The others vanished into the wild, each following their own strategy. Some sought confrontation, others evasion. No signal, no agreement, just divergence.
And deeper in the jungle,
something ancient adjusted its path.
Why this works?
Everyone separates cleanly.
T-Rexes feel intelligent, strategic.
Smith plants the theme of intelligence versus strength.
Alex dances without arguing.
Philosophy through action.
Tournament of power. Mid-sequence, the island was no longer quiet, it was alive. Above it all, the voice returned. Current progression. A pause, as if measured through countless unseen eyes. Leading the build-up phase. Smith, somewhere in the jungle. Movement continued. Fast, efficient, precise.
Second, Alex.
Two forces, different methods. Same pace, flawless, split across the island. The island's initial chaos gave way to emerging patterns once scattered. Participants began to reveal their approaches. Smith, analytical and methodical, gathered anything useful for tools and traps. His mind always a step ahead. Alex used the jungle's confusion to disappear, favoring stealth and patience. Margaret and Laystack, each in their own way, sought vantage points, one for observation, one for control. Smith moved like he already knew the ending. He gathered materials, fast, clean, controlled.
Fire.
Structure. Distraction.
To anyone watching.
He was building a burn trap, something crude, something effective, but unseen, something else moved with him.
Silent. Mechanical, hidden.
No one noticed. Elsewhere.
The shift.
Margaret stopped.
Watched. Calculated.
Then turned, not toward victory, toward Laystack. He was already working.
Cutting. Sharpening.
Stacking. Spears.
Not one. Not ten.
A field. Sam and Dean arrived next.
No words, just understanding.
Then more followed. Gaga. Amara. Others. Not a team. Their gathering was a consequence of necessity. Resources pooled, defenses reinforced. Even so, trust was thin, and every alliance was temporary, dissolving the instant the balance shifted.
Not officially.
But aligned.
Together,
they built
bamboo shafts, hardened tips,
layer upon layer. A weapon not meant to be held, but released. Pressure built, the voice again.
Smith is approaching completion.
The jungle tightened. That was enough.
They didn't say it.
But they all knew. He cannot win alone. The others, sensing Smith's progress, recognize that only coordinated disruption would prevent him from dominating the round without speaking. They set their plans in motion, the island itself becoming a chessboard of shifting intentions.
Target acquired.
A T-Rex moved through the trees, close, too close, heavy steps, measured, aware. The spear field was set, hundreds angled forward, waiting, only one thing missing. Timing. Action commences. Laystack moved, not rushed, not reckless. He stepped forward, and the air around him shifted. Gravity bent, he lifted, then dropped, landing onto the T-Rex hard. The creature reacted instantly, head shifting, eyes closing. Too smart.
lay stack adjusted. A second impact, bare foot driving into its skull, forcing the head down, forcing the angle, forcing the opening. Now, release. Margaret didn't hesitate. The knife cut clean. The system snapped. Spears launched. A storm of sharpened bamboo cutting through the air. Left, missed. Right, missed. The T-Rex twisted, still fighting, still resisting. Final adjustment. Laystack moved again on the creature with it. He turned its head. Just enough. Just once. Impact. One spear. A line through the eye. Into the brain end. The body froze, then collapsed. Silence. First confirmed kill. Laystack. Aftershock less than a minute later. Another impact. Second. Alex. Clean. Precise. Unquestionable. Then. Another. Third. Smith. Too fast. Too perfect. But still. Third. Margaret's turn. She stepped forward alone now. But not unsupported. They didn't interfere. Didn't act. Didn't help. But they waited. Watched. Let her take the moment. She rebuilt. Same principle. Same system. Different execution. The T-Rex charged. She didn't panic. Timed it. Cut. Release. Spears flew. One found the eye. Fourth. Margaret. By the time the dust settled, it was clear. Survival here demanded more than strength or speed. It required reading the field. Understanding the logic beneath the chaos. Adapting faster than the predators. And seizing the brief moments when alliances or betrayals tip deals. The island tested not just physical prowess, but the ability to outthink both beasts and rivals. The island stilled again. Primary ran complete. Laystack stood apart, not celebrating, not reacting. Alex watched, understanding more than he showed. Smith, silent, but thinking, advancing to the final stage. Rap battle. And this time, it wasn't about survival. It was about position.